This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. It's a big day at the state capitol, the day Governor Gavin Newsom releases his new budget. While it may sound wonky, it matters because the governor's budget sets the agenda in Sacramento and ranks priorities for lawmakers. Ahead of its release, KQED has learned that later today, the governor will propose a new program aimed at young inmates, one that would give them the chance to leave state prisons with college degrees, vocational training, and other rehabilitation. KQED politics correspondent Marisa Lagos starts us off this morning with this exclusive story.
The proposal would create a campus-like setting at Valley State Prison in Chowchilla, where inmates sentenced to state prison before they turn 22 can live in a less restrictive environment, access more help, and mentor one another. It would cost about $6 million the first year and $10 million a year after that, and it would expand on the youth offender program, which is already available at 10 prisons. 23-year-old Sumit Lal participated in that program when he was at San Quentin State Prison and left as a software engineer.
I had no idea that prison would turn out to be such a wonderful opportunity for me to change my life around. I was able to make something positive out of that negativity.
The proposal is in line with the governor's promise to expand rehabilitative opportunities in prison. After a tour of another program at Solano State Prison last August, Newsom told KQED that he's committed to expanding programs that work.
Look, at the end of the day, whether you like rehabilitation or not, the overwhelming majority of the folks that are within the system are going to be released. And they're going to be released back in your community. The question is, do you want them coming back stronger, more resilient, or you want them coming back more hardened and more likely to recommit crimes?
Newsom will include the proposal in his budget, which he's expected to unveil later this morning. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
We're going to turn now to the important but complicated business of school funding in our state. A couple of years ago, Governor Jerry Brown helped push through big changes to how money is doled out so that we'd spend more money on at-risk schools. Fast forward to today, and the state is having a hard time tracking whether that funding is actually reaching the students who need the most help. This week, the State Board of Education said it wants more scrutiny over how the money is spent through the so-called local control funding formula. That's led to districts that serve lots of low-income kids or English language learners getting as much as 40% more money. But if parents or taxpayers want to figure out how it gets spent, it's hard to sift through hundreds of pages of education jargon and district plans to figure out what exactly is being spent on what. John Fensterwald writes about education policy for EdSource and says the goal here is transparency.
So the new changes that the state board adopted will really require districts to more fully document how they're spending their dollars and to show whether the money is actually working. That doesn't go far enough for some legislators who say that a loophole in the funding law should be fixed. That loophole is this: if districts don't spend the money for the neediest students at the end of the year, they can just roll it over into the following year and use it however they want. And the legislators want this practice ended.
That's John Fensterwald, a reporter for the website EdSource.
Who runs UC?
We run UC!
We're going to go to Santa Cruz now, to the campus of UC Santa Cruz. Yesterday, more than 200 people rallied there to support striking graduate teaching assistants and campus workers. A big issue for those protesters is the high cost of housing. Erica Mahoney from our partner station KAZU was there.
Veronica Hamilton is a PhD student in social psychology at UC Santa Cruz. She also works as a teaching assistant, or TA for short.
We aren't paid enough to live here, and the conditions got so bad that people who were not political became political because they couldn't afford to pay their rent.
TAs across the UC system are all paid the same rate. They make roughly $2,400 a month before taxes. Their 20-hour work week includes instructing labs, holding office hours, and grading. About a month ago, hundreds of grad students at UC Santa Cruz went on a grading strike.
And so I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that this is not okay and we have power to change it.
They decided to not submit grades for undergrad courses until the school provides a cost of living adjustment of $1,400 a month. The union that represents over 19,000 student employees at all UC schools has not authorized the strike. Scott Hernandez-Jason is the spokesperson for UC Santa Cruz.
So this strike goes against their contract, and the very nature of it makes it impossible for us to sit down and discuss ways to support them as employees.
Hernandez Jason says they're willing to meet with the students if they call off the strike. For the California Report, I'm Erica Mahoney in Santa Cruz.
Our last story this morning takes us to the moon and back, but probably not in the way you'd expect. Today, some of 2020's highest tides will start hitting California's coast. They're known as king tides. KQED's Daniel Venton has been looking into this phenomenon as part of our ongoing series, Spacing Out with Daniel Venton. She took me down to the Embarcadero here in San Francisco to tell me more about them.
This is a special spot along the Embarcadero because it's a place where you can really see the king tides in action. It's kind of lower than some of the surrounding walkway. And during king tides, the water can actually be so high that where we're standing right now, we would have our feet wet.
So admittedly, science was not my strongest subject in school, so you're going to really have to hold my hand here. What is a king tide exactly?
King tides are the most extreme tides of the year. So the high tides are higher than normal and the low tides are lower than normal. And they happen in our area of the world. They happen in the winter.
So we have loved having you do Spacing Out with Daniel Venton on the California Report. And the whole notion around that is, you know, you talk about space. And for those of us who are not science people, this is a story about space. How does that work exactly? What's going on up there that's affecting this?
Tides happen when the moon pulls on the water on the Earth. And king tides are special because they're when the sun, moon, and Earth are all lined up. So there is a double gravitational pull, effectively, by both the sun and the moon on the tides. And that is why we see these extreme swings.
And there's a fun part to this and a scary part to this. So let's start with the fun part. If I am just interested in exploring the beaches of California this weekend, what am I going to see?
So if you go out during a low tide, this is a great time for tide pooling because a lot of the aquatic life in the tide pools that would otherwise be under the water will be exposed, so you can go explore.
And then the scary part is climate change. This is a huge predictor for what our future might look like, these king tides. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. The king tides of today are going to be what the standard high tides of tomorrow look like. And that can be a scary prospect, but these tides give us an opportunity to study in advance what the effects on infrastructure might be and give us a chance to plan for a future when we have water that's much higher than it is now.
I feel like those seagulls would make a really good interview. Should we go talk to them later?
They have a lot to say.
They have a lot to say. Daniel Venton from KQED Science, thank you so much.
Lily, anytime.
And that's the California Report for this Friday, January 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Katie McMurrin, and Rob Spate, with additional engineering from Seal Muller and Jim Bennett. The rest of our staff includes Mary Franklin Harvin, Alice Wolfley, Raquel Maria Dillon, Kate Wolf, Saul Gonzalez, and Angela Corral. Our managing editor is Vinny Tong. Our executive editor is Ethan Lindsay, and our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great weekend.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And Personal Capital, offering financial planning with registered advisors and serving over 2 million people with online financial tools. PersonalCapital.com.